Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
There's no one like her. She sang her heart out and then she left us. Janis Joplin. Janis Joplin. But she gave it her all. I mean, that was the thing about Janis Joplin, one of the greats, because when she performed, she was 100% there, and then she burned out. There are other performers like that, including me, but I haven't burned out yet. I just do it at a different pace, but I'm giving it my all. So I ask you a question. Yes, I will talk about the Oklahoma man who beheaded a coworker was an Islam convert. Oh, yes, I will get to that. The FBI is still trying to figure out whether it's related to his religious beliefs. Without mentioning which religion. So far as I can tell, Christianity doesn't say cut the heads off those who are not Christian. I don't know. I didn't say anything in the Jewish Bible. It says cut the head off those who are not Jewish. Sure. I've read the teachings of Buddha. He doesn't say cut the heads off those who are not Buddhist. Hindus don't seem to. I don't get it. Maybe the Quran should come with a warning label for those who have an IQ lower than 80, who are recently converted in prison, where they take every word literally. They don't understand you're not supposed to cut the head off those who are infidels. Maybe they don't get it. You think that a warning label would work? I don't know. That's just a thought. Let's play Bob Dylan, Lay Lady Lay. I'll tell you why. I think it all comes down to sex. I'm starting to think that the culture clash or the clash of civilizations has a lot to do with sexual repression. In that, I'm a Freudian. I have to tell you. Remember Bob Dylan before he became a grandpa? Wow. I mean, women swooned over this song back in the 70s. They fainted. It was so seductive. It was unbelievable. Loud, loud, loud. Come on. Let me get it.
Whatever colors you have.
That, what a voice.
In your mind.
I love it. Really good.
I show them to you. And you see them shine.
See, without poetry, life is worthless. What you become is a stone-hearted murderer or a lawyer. I mean, that's the whole truth.
Stay, lady, stay.
The guys I knew who didn't have a scintilla of poetry in their blood became attorneys, and the worst became hedge fund operators.
Until the break of day.
No, but when you think of, I've been thinking about this. Here's an Oklahoma man, was a recent Islam convert with a rap sheet going back forever. He beheaded a coworker in a factory, a food processing plant in Oklahoma City, cuts a woman's head off with a knife. He's about to cut another woman's head off when the owner, who is an offshore deputy, shoots him and kills him. Lewis said Nolan then stabbed Tracy Johnson 43 a number of times before being shot by Mark Vaughn, a reserve sheriff's deputy. Thank God he had the training to shoot this piece of garbage and kill him. And the company's chief operating officer. Where's Al Sharpton? I mean, this could be a hate crime. I mean, why is Al Sharpton not out there in Oklahoma City saying that it's not another Ferguson? I mean, he only beheaded a woman. He had repressed rage from all of the years of oppression, from the history of cultural repression. He felt like he had to get it out of his system and cut off a head. He was processing poultry, and he decided to process a coworker. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Is this stuff getting to you? The man was apparently a recent convert to Islam, co-workers told police. And the FBI has been called in to determine if the incident is terror-related, meaning to cover up the terror relation. The FBI has been called in to make sure no one ever connects Islam to the beheading. Now, it is true that, Teddy, my dog's listening to me anyway. He's looking at me with a smile, so I know the show is good. Listen to me, Teddy. Here's how it works. They were told to do lone wolf attacks by ISIS, Icicle, Schmisis, whatever they're calling them now. They're all Al-Qaeda, but they changed their names in order to not embarrass Obama, who said Al-Qaeda was on the run and they were JV team. So anyway, Al-Qaeda said to them, if you're a Muslim anywhere in the West, commit lone wolf attacks. So he took them seriously. That's all. It's that simple. But the reason I played Bob Dylan, Lay Lady Lay, is this. Most young American men right now, you know, it's Friday. They're thinking of the weekend. What do you think they're thinking of? What are most American men thinking of? not a religious service. They're thinking of meeting a young lady and having sex. And that keeps them going over the weekend, whether or not they're successful. And what do most young Middle Eastern Muslim men think about over the weekend? Killing, murdering, bombing things, blowing things up. And I think that's because they have nothing to look forward to. It's, their societies are so sexually repressed. This is very Freudian. I understand it may not be acceptable to you in the age of no Freudian thinking allowed. Think about what keeps American men going when they're young. They could be poor, but they know they might go out to a bar. They might have fun. The two guys that work for me are giggling all of a sudden. Guys that were dour and depressed and angry at me are suddenly laughing. Turn up the mic so they can see you're really laughing. I finally got a laugh out of these two guys in their 20s. But it keeps them going. Okay. In the Middle East, they're thinking about how to blow up civilization. And that's the story. Make it louder. No one's getting this joke. The only one who got it are two guys who work behind the Skype screen of my dog. Here's the question of the day. I'll give you a question of the day just to give you a call job. What was my best show of the last year? Now, the reason I say last year, because I did a show on the Jewish New Year yesterday, right, the night before. Some people loved it to death. They thought it was the greatest show I've ever done. I don't get into the religious thing too often, but when I do, I usually do it very deeply, and I think that I struck some real good pay dirt in those. But I was thinking back over the last year. You know, I started a brand new show in January of this year. Although I've been a radio 20 years, I started on a new time slot where you're listening to me, on new stations across America, thanks to Cumulus. I am on the biggest stations in the country in drive time. Let's not underestimate that. You know, a lot of people on the West Coast listen to me on KSFO, my old listeners all who I know all stop me and say, I love your new time, blah, blah, blah. Many of them don't even know I'm still on the air, but they say to me, by the way, is this a good time? They don't understand that this is the best time in radio. 3 o'clock East Coast is the number one prime spot in radio. So on the West Coast, it has to be noon. But nevertheless, here I am. New show started in January, rebuilding it from ground zero. And I've done some remarkably interesting things in radio. And friends of mine who are at, I'd say, top of the pyramid in the media, and there aren't too many, say to me that they've never heard anything like it. I'm doing great radio. So I was thinking about it. Well, let me review the year. What did they like? What did they like the best? I mean, I do the news, the head cutting. How much of that can you take? People are cracking up. You got talk show hosts. You got media people. They're really burning. They cannot take this anymore. You know, and I thought about that why in the shower. Why that is in the shower before I came on the air. One of the reasons I like working at home on radio, I have all these home studios. I go up the hill, down the hill, to the city, out of the city, L.A., New York, whatever. Well, I don't have a home studio in New York. I did it at WABC, but I have home studios everywhere. I like showering and getting out of the shower 1 minute before I go on the air. It's like a certain trick. And I got to be very cautious because I try to time it so the hot water leaves my head within 60 seconds of getting on the air to bring the blood to the head. And then I rush drying onto the microphone. It's a certain Houdini act I do, and it gives me a lot of energy. But, you know, I got to be very careful because last week a poor Honduran man in New York, 74 years old, came to the country without a penny in his pocket. He owned an ice company, you know, ice, like ices up in the Bronx. He made a nice business for himself. He worked 7 days a week, 14 hours a day, this guy. Don't say all immigrants don't come here to work. This guy did. But here's what happened to him. He has a factory, a small factory up in the Bronx in a bad neighborhood. So he has one of those overhead doors that come down, right? You know what's coming. You know, you raise it, it's electric, goes down. My father had one of those. So this guy timed it. He took the trash out, and he tried to he was doing it for years. He'd run back in before the door came back down. Well, you know, the swift and the dead. He timed it wrong. He tripped, went under the door hit him right in the head and killed him. Not a funny story, a horrible story. So I got to be very careful with my shower trick because I'm timing it too closely to the microphone lately, I notice. And if I do it, if I don't do it exactly right and I slip, I get electrocuted on the microphone. I'm just having fun. I'm letting off steam. What do you want with me? What do you want from me? Do you want me to talk about head cutting again? Are you an American born before 1970? Yes, everyone listening to the show is an American born before 1970. Anyone born after 1970 does not listen to the show. Where are they, the people born after 1970? They would be like 44, 45 before now. I don't know what they're doing. They're listening to sport. I think the American people don't care that another Muslim convert, African-American, who was an Islam convert, cut someone's head off. I think they'd be more interested if Kim Kardashian's breast fell out, frankly. I mean, the country is so debased from Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Obama. They have so debased the American soul, mind, and spirit that if Kim Kardashian had an incident like that, they'd be more interested in that, and they talk about it more so than they'll talk about a Muslim convert following the orders of ISIS and cutting off a head here in Oklahoma City. That's how sick it is. You know, people say, oh, don't do such heavy politics, you know, make it light. You can't make it light. You can only go so light for so long, and then you become light in the brain. So we're playing a little music today. Let's play. I like Take a Piece of My Heart. I like Lay Lady Lay. I don't know what to play right now. How about those oldies but goodies as I call out the callers now? 855-407-282. But goodies. Oh, what I wouldn't give to be 15 again. I hated it. I hated being 15. But I'd give anything to be 15 again with my brain. I heard that when I was young. I didn't know what the old men meant. God, did they have it right. We used to discuss those things. Would you want to be 15 again? No, unless I could have the brain I have now. I mean, how does that work? You know, when you're 15, you're in a daze. You don't know what you're doing. Geometry, trigonometry, U.S. history, Regents exams, a father you're trying to duck, whatever. At least I had a father to try and duck. Today, what, 50% have no fathers? Were they born in a test tube? Were they come out of a poultry plant? Is a turkey baster from Oakland? Yeah, Roger's Thesaurus. This is Savage's Thesaurus of the Modern World. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Can't make up my mind. It is the Savage Nation. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Lighten up. So what if a man cut a woman's head off in a processing plant? Don't they do it to chickens every day? So what if he would, because he can't find the 11 on the phone? I heard that Al Sharpton does not know how to make ten. Over and over. What weight loss diet is that man on? What is he eating? He can't be eating Michelle's diet. Well, maybe he is eating the diet Michelle prescribes, but not the one she actually eats. I don't know what that's a. There'll be no Ferguson-like protests over the beheading, though, because it's too embarrassing for the media. Confirms the type of knife used in the attack is the same kind used at the processing plant. The woman was confirmed stabbed several times, and Nolan then severed her head. At that point, Lewis, the Muslim convert, claims Nolan met 43-year-old Tracy Johnson and began attacking her with the same knife. Apparently, Nolan was attacking employees at random. Well, at least he wasn't discriminating. I mean, give him that. So you can't call it a hate crime. It was in the Muslim convert, and the FBI is trying to find out why he did it. You know, unless we come... Whatever. Well, do I have to finish this paragraph? I don't think so. I think you pretty much know what's going on and what's going to happen to you. I think you pretty much know what's coming. Believe me. WABC Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I've noticed years and years ago that a lot of people, especially the so-called angry African-Americans, converted to Islam when they couldn't stand the way things were in their white American lives anymore. Like Cassius Clay or Malcolm X, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, it was constant. A lot of people were doing that, and it seemed like it was converting to the religion because they hated things.
Yeah, but they didn't kill anybody.
No, but they were filled with hatred and anger, and of course.
But they didn't follow the protocols of ISIS to go and attack innocent people, did they?
No. No, I'm not saying that.
Well, but now you're starting to see a few breakouts, though.
Yes.
I mean, what do you do when you have a president who continues to repeat that Islam is a religion of peace, religion of peace, religion of peace, religion of peace? Now, on the positive note, let's not get carried away here, because you can easily misinterpret what I'm saying, and I don't want you to. And I'm not doing this to placate the politically correct listeners to the show. I want you to go to an article that I posted from CNN on michaelsavage.com. United Arab Emirates' first female fighter pilot led airstrike against ISIS. Here she is, a Muslim woman wearing a hijab, fighter pilot, and she led the airstrike for her country against ISIS. Major Mariam Al-Mansouri, first female fighter pilot in the UAE, led a strike mission. The woman's unbelievable. You got to listen to the quote. You got to listen to this woman's statement. She's defending her country. She's a moderate Muslim. She's a warrior. She hates the radicals.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the show. I found a ram's horn someone had given me a while ago, and I figured I'd try it myself. Not bad for a first try. I got to keep it away from the dog. I once had a Tibetan, a holy bone from Tibet, that I bought in an antiquity shop. It was an actual human, I think, tibula. It couldn't have been the femur. It wasn't that big. But it had like a chain on it, jewels. I what can I do? I bought it. Well, one day I left it out and the dog ate it. I swear to my previous dog ate this antiquity. And what he know was Ray. It was a bone to him. He was hungry, and he was mad at me. I mean, he did leave the chain over, but he went for the marrow. The thing was like 100, 200 years old. There was no marrow in it anymore. But I got to be careful. This could still smell of lamb, for all I know, this holy horn made in Israel. Made in Israel. I feel bad for the sheep now when I see them. I don't know what it is. I look at sheep. They're like my dog. They hold him. The next thing, they cut their throat. I don't get it. They treat them like pets. Now, the reason the FBI is looking into the Muslim converts head cutting over there in Oklahoma today is twofold. One, I believe PETA has told the FBI that this may actually be misinterpreted. The man who cut the woman's head off was allegedly an animal rights activist, and he thought that the woman had treated the chickens too roughly on the assembly on the assembly line in the poultry plant. So he was actually performing it as from the point of view of an animal rights activist. And the FBI may come out with that official statement by this afternoon. We'll be listening very carefully. There may not be a hate crime. It certainly couldn't be if it's the FBI involved. It was actually a crime of passion for the animal. He was upset the way she was handling the chickens before she slaughtered them, and he just took it out on her. I mean, he just blew it. Nothing to do with his religion. Not at all. It was an animal rights guy. It's that simple. That was probably workplace violence in that regard. You know. KCMO, Heather, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just want to let you know that I was born in 73. I've been listening to your show for at least 10 years. I can't remember how long before that, but daily.
So you've been 10, born in 73, you're 41? 41?
41.
And you're listening since you're 31. That's a long time. Hey, one quarter of your life listening to me?
Oh, yeah. It's like a daily thing. If I forget for some reason, and I can listen to you while I'm at work, so if I forget, it's like I missed something in my day.
what kind of work do you do?
I work for a large pharmaceutical company. It's all like I work from home a lot, so I can put the radio on in the background and work while the radio's on.
Now, I'm going to send you my Stop the Coming Civil War book, which is out in only 10 days now. Would you bring it to work and see what happens and report back to me?
Oh, yeah, but everybody...
I cannot wait to see people call the show when they bring my book to work. Take it to work day. Take Stop the Coming Civil War to work day. I want to hear what happens when they come and say, put the book away, it's offensive, it may offend someone. I really want to see what goes on in Obama's America with regard to the First Amendment. I'm not kidding you. You're not going to believe what's going to happen. Okay, stay on the line, Heather. We're going to get you a book. Here's an update on that female pilot, the moderate Muslim pilot. She's not a moderate. I mean, she's an extremist. The woman's fabulous. She's a combat-ready pilot. And listen to what she said. She says, it's important for us moderate Arabs, moderate Muslims, to step up and say this is a threat against us. This is more of a threat against us than it is against you. This is not just a threat to our countries. This is a threat to our way of life, she said. Can you believe this? Here is a girl, a Muslim girl, had wanted to be a fighter pilot since she finished high school, but had to wait until women were allowed in UAE. Sorry. She had to wait 10 years for the decision to be taken. And so she enlisted, and she was a fighter pilot who led the airstrike against ISIS. Here's an update to that story that has not yet made it to the website, not to CNN. Her family disowned her right after she attacked ISIS. So I guess they're not the moderate Muslims. You know? Now, Obama's brought in hundreds of thousands of Muslims in the last year. Nobody knows if they've been vetted. No one knows who they are. If you think things are bad now, you wait and see what happens in the next few years. There's going to be hell to pay for this multicultural insanity that has moved like an ooze out of Obama's brain. You understand that? Yes? No? Maybe? Get what's going on? Adam on KSFO in San Francisco. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Savage. I go to school here in the local Bay Area, and I took a class one time, and it was called Race, Gender, Inequality. And I thought, you know, maybe further my, you know, mind about this, but the first day of class, the professor came out and just blatantly said she was a feminist, and I knew, oh, I would be white-knuckling it that whole time during that class.
Well, when you say feminist, she was what, a radical lesbian in plain English?
Yeah, pretty much in plain English.
Okay, I get it. All right, so what did she attack immediately?
Well, first we started talking about, you know, race, and she put up stuff about how a white male Christian has been oppressing, like, throughout all the years of, like, America's history and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
right. The usual stuff. Well, she's got the wrong target. She ought to go live in Saudi Arabia for a few years before she shoots her fat lips off.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
she ought to go try living in one of her revered inner city havens before she shoots her mouth off in the safety of her tenured position. I'm sick of these slobs that get away with murder because they have tenure. They get me sick, and they take advantage of our poor children. Adam, I'm sending you a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. Take it to school and see what happens, but bring a bodyguard. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Any number is a fair game. We played some good songs so far. I'd like to play a little rock and roll to calm people down today on the Savage Nation. So, Neil, let's do a little more of the do-do-do-do songs. I mean, you know, the D-O-O songs that we have in the rotation there. Outbreak of a respiratory illness. Listen to this. I want you to hear this. Look, outbreak of a respiratory illness escalates among children and mystifies scientists. If you want to talk about nausea, it's about the mystery illness. Mystifies scientists. They're not scientists. They're stooges of Obama. This is the Obama flu brought in from Honduras, where the disease is endemic. In the days that Eddie My Love was a song, you had here the Asian, you had a thing called Asian flu. Turn it on. Notice people knew. They said, well, Asian flu. So right, oh, yeah, it came from Asia. No one thought it was racist. It gave the average man some idea where the flu came from, Asia. That's all fair. Asian flu. They didn't think of it as a racist statement. It was a medical statement. It had, okay, it came from Asia, right? Now you have the Honduran flu, no, and the mystery scientists, the schmucks. All these guys have these high PhDs, MDs, and nobody knows where the mystery illness came from. What good are they then? Tell me what good the CDC is if they'll cover up a thing like this. What good is the CDC if they won't even tell you that this flu that's spreading across America came from Obama's unaccompanied children? For God's sakes. Now, how do I know that? How does Mr. Smarty Alec, Michael Savage, know that? Listen, moron, here's how I know it. Listen, idiot, here's how I know it. Listen, skeptic, here's how I know it. Because the virus that is spreading is identical in DNA structure to a virus that's endemic to that region of the world. It's endemic to Nicaragua and Honduras. And I know that because it's been published. But the CDC is filled with political hacks, as is every public health department in the United States of America. Nothing but political hacks, political appointees who know exactly where this flu is coming from. Boy, are we in trouble. Parents would love to know why this virus is causing severe disease and why there are more cases, said Rafael Tokarz, an associate research scientist at Columbia University who has studied the virus. But we won't be able to answer that until a lot more research is done. I guess he means until they give him a few million dollars to fly in the wrong countries. I could solve this problem with a one-way ticket and one lab technician. Just send me to Honduras and Nicaragua and bring back a sample of the virus that's endemic in those countries and compare it, schmuck. You don't need a PhD to do that. You need common sense, something that is quite lacking in the universities today. Okay. WABC. Chris, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, Renaissance man. You're just amazing.
Do you know that the word Renaissance man, that concept is not even understood anymore? I grew up understanding it. No one uses it anymore.
Well, you are. And I just want to congratulate you. I've been listening to talk radio for decades, and you're like fine wine, you know, and the rest of the guys are like soda pop.
You know I hate hearing that.
Sorry. Well, I just wanted to say that you brought up the idea you need a warning label with a holy book. And I'd like to take that further. I think you should champion the idea that every sect, every religion should have an explanation, a companion book that explains. I mean, if you're Jewish and you're reading the Leviticus, I mean, you could be scared to death. You need an explanation of what that
is. Well, but the thing is, Jews don't kill homosexuals, even though it's in Leviticus. They don't kill adulterers, even though it's in Leviticus. It's phenomenal if you read Leviticus, but most Jews, even Orthodox, understand that that's an ancient writing, and you don't apply it in a modern time. Apparently, that's not translated into some religions.
But you need a companion book at this point in time to explain that to people. Then that's basically what you said with the warning.
Yeah. Ask Al-Zawahiri if he'll put one out. Ask Mr. Al-Zawahiri if he'd be considering writing a tractate that's a commentary on the Quran, which says we don't really mean in the 100 places that it says in the Quran to kill the infidel wherever you find him. We don't really mean that. See if you can find someone to say that.
Either somebody should be able to do that, or the whole thing is just balderdash.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? So, Chris, do you listen to me regularly on WABC?
Well, I'm up in Glenville, upstate New York, on GDJ.
Isn't that amazing? So you live in the Catskill Mountains?
No, it's close to Albany, Schenectady.
Yeah, what? But in the country, the suburbs. Give me an idea where you live, like the type of place.
Suburbs.
So do you get the beautiful air that was known in that area anymore, or is it all gone?
Oh, it's pretty decent here. Yeah, still pretty good.
Even with the pollution coming out of the I forget his name, Perry Como up there in the in Albany.
Well, we tried. It's hard to adapt to that stuff, but we're just holding on, hoping for the best, you know.
Yeah, we're all holding on, hoping for the best. You're waiting for Cuomo to leave. You're waiting for Obama to leave. You're waiting for Hillary to leave. We waited for Bonnie Frank long enough, and he left. But there is always hope tomorrow.
All right, you're
getting a free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. I'm blowing out all stops today. Everyone who gets on gets a free book. Here's Deuteronomy. Thou shalt not see thy kid in its mother's milk. Okay, they don't say kill someone who does that. But why do you... See, now that made sense. Deuteronomy says... Listen to this. Thou shalt not eat any of anything that dieth of itself. Well, okay, there goes half the listeners to talk radio who eat roadkill. I mean, come on, what are you going to do with that? If they fire... did you hear what happened with de Blasio? The guy is such a klutz, the Nicaraguan communist mayor type of New York. He was holding up a groundhog for Groundhog Day. It fell, dropped it on his head, and died. That's an amazing story. The mayor of New York holds up a groundhog, and he's so afraid of it. It has, like, big buck teeth. He has these monster gloves. It's so funny because they showed, even he did it. The rich guy, what's his name, who just left. The anti-soda man, the nut that was everything was his business. Mayor Bloomberg. They juxtaposed a position of Mayor Bloomberg holding a groundhog when he was a mayor. He wore a regular pair of leather gloves, like high-class, you know, leather gloves. De Blasio is such a chicken, he wore, like, asbestos work gloves that went up to his elbow. He was so afraid of this animal. It squirmed in his hands. The animal got afraid of him. The animal could fear fear. So the animal fell out of his hands, broke its neck. That's all. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Imagine he'd be alive. You know how old he'd be today? Like 75? Would he love America or hate America? I think most of the old rock and rollers would love America. You shall not eat anything that dieth of itself. I'm looking at Deuteronomy, and so, because we're looking at religious laws now. It's like in the Old Testament, I have it in my hand. You don't want to read Leviticus. Everything has to be killed. Almost everything. If it has this and then that, and it turns white, when you look at the end, the priest on the plague and the skin, and if you turn the skin up and you turn it down, and it's the red but not white, but inside it's white, within the redness it's whitest, then kill it. On the other hand, if the flesh is boiled but it's healed, then don't kill it. On the other hand, if you do this and you do that, and the hair be turned in, the hair thereof be turned white, that the priest shall pronounce him unclean, it is the plague of leprosy, it hath broken out in the boil, but if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, and it be not lower than the skin, but be dim, then the priest shall shut him up for 7 days. And if it spread abroad in the skin, then the priest shall... All right, it made sense. That's why the Jews are good doctors for the last thousands of years. They were always into it. They were always, like, nervous about illness in the desert because they had no running water. They had no alcohol. They had no knowledge of anything except they had common sense. So they had to check it out, man. They didn't want the plague running through the tribe. So they took upon themselves to figure, look at the guy with a skin condition. The guy just has a rash. You don't throw him out of the whole encampment. Guy says, don't throw me out. I'm not a leper. All right, let me come over here. They bring it over to the rabbi. The rabbi's having a bad day. He could say that it is the thing. It has a hair coming out of the mole or whatever. And they threw him out of the encampment. So some of it made sense. But then you go to Deuteronomy. Look at this one. He may eat all of that that are in the waters whatsoever hath fins and scales. That we know. Here comes the bad part. But whatever has not fins and scales, you shall not eat. It is unclean. There goes the shrimp. There goes the squid. There goes the scungili. There go the clams, the mussels. Then the pig is in the next one because of the cud. I don't get the cud. I don't understand cud. Go to a butcher and ask about the cud.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 8-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Another beheading, another Muslim convert, this time in Oklahoma City. Of course, they're trying to downplay the relationship to the religion, but, you know, look, the guy is a jailbird with a rap sheet going back forever. Recent convert takes the Bible that he's reading literally, didn't come with a warning label to say, look, the 100 things that say cut the throat of the infidel, we don't really mean it. So he took it seriously, that's all. And the rest is history. So I went from that into kind of a irreverent look at the original Holy Bible, the Old Testament. Why? I don't laugh at people's religions, but I'm trying to make a point, a more important point, which is that although Leviticus in the Old Testament has an awful lot of thou shalt kill if a person does this, thou shalt kill if a person does that, even the most religious Jews don't follow those precepts. They don't need a warning label. They understand that not everything that they read is to be taken literally, although much of it they do follow with regard to eating. They won't eat shrimp. They won't eat pork. They won't eat a calamari. You don't even suggest it because it's in there. These, you know, if you read the food laws in Deuteronomy, they're pretty interesting. Some of them make sense. Look, here's what makes sense. Thou shalt not seethe a kid in its mother's milk. So why was that a precept? Why would you say don't seethe the kid in its mother's milk? Because then you'd be killing the mother and the baby animal. You've got to be a moron to kill off the livestock. So in other words, people were so stupid they needed laws. So they had to write a law saying, thou shalt not seethe the kid in its mother's milk. Oh, I get it. Explain to the idiot, the old desert warrior. If you do that, you kill off the flock, idiot. You don't do a thing like that. Now, here's one. You shall not eat anything that dieth of itself. There goes Duck Dynasty's main meals, though. You see, that's the problem. Lucky they don't practice the Old Testament because, I mean, they eat roadkill, don't they? Thou shalt not eat anything that dieth of itself. That's called carrion. Thou mayest give it unto the stranger that is within thy gates. Good, give it to them. He may eat it. Yeah, you can eat it. I'm not going to eat that garbage. I found a woodchuck on the side of the road in the Catskill Mountains. And I was like, the guts are out. Well, thou may sell it to a foreigner. So you could sell roadkill? Oh, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not see the kid and his mother. What else? So if you look at this, it's very interesting. Some of it is historically very interesting because it made sense. In those days, you wouldn't want to eat a shrimp from the Middle East. Forget about it. You know how dirty the water was there? Or a clam. Would you eat a clam from the Red Sea? Anything that didn't have fins and scales, you couldn't eat. Because there were no Italians in ancient Israel at that time. The Italians were in the other part of the Mediterranean. They ate everything that moved, they ate. They could eat fins with scales. They could eat the scale, no fins, no scales. They didn't care. They ate it all. But the Hebrews, no, you can't eat it. It's not good. It's unclean. Now, here's the part I don't understand. To this day, although I have a reasonably good education in first in zoology and then in other fields, I get when they say these are the beasts you can eat. You could eat the ox. Okay, I had oxtail stew in my life. The sheep, I had a lamb shank. I could eat the goat. I won't eat goat. I don't want to kill a goat. Well, once I was in Fiji, I had goat curry. I almost died from it. I got food poisoning. The Indians always give me like those. When you're getting goat curry, it's basically bone curry. You could eat the hart and the gazelle. You could eat the roebuck. The roebuck was like related to Sears. What do you mean the roebuck? What's a roebuck? Can you eat a Sears? And the wild goat and the pygarg. You can eat the antelope and the mountain sheep. I'm reading the Bible. I'm not kidding you. Now, here's the part that's confusing to me, as educated as I am in zoology. And every beast that parteth the hoof and hath the hoof wholly cloven in two and cheweth the cud, that ye may eat. Okay, I get it. So that's like a cow. A cow has a cloven hoof and chews the cud. But here comes the trick. Nevertheless, these ye shall not eat of them that only chew the cud, or of them that only have the hoof cloven, the camel, the hare, and the rock badger, because they chew the cud but part not the hoof, they are unclean unto you. I don't get that. I don't understand that. I can't get it. And the swine, because he parteth the hoof but cheweth not the cud. So what if I raised pigs and I taught them how to chew the cud? What is cud? I still don't know what cud is. Does anyone know what cud is? Robert, what's cud? Neil, look up cud. Because if you can get a pig, what if you can train it to chew the cud? He is unclean of you, and their flesh ye shall not eat, and their carcasses ye shall not touch. Now, the Muslims picked up on that. I don't know, and I'm not being facetious now. Are there moderate Muslims in the audience who enjoy my show? Can you eat shrimp? I'm trying to learn. It's like a multicultural show now. Then we get into the fish. I told you, anything with scales, fins, you can eat. No fins, no scales, you can't eat. So do the Muslims, can they eat shrimp? I don't know about that. Because I see a lot of Muslim people in North Beach in Italian restaurants knocking down the Bula base pretty good. I don't know what they eat. Of all clean birds, ye may... I told you I have a Muslim friend who owns a Persian restaurant in San Francisco. And he was joking with me and he said, you know, this is something that only restaurant owners get. Even non-Jewish restaurant owners smile. But it goes over most people's heads. The Muslim restaurant owner said to me, hey, Michael, we have a saying amongst Muslim restaurant owners. I said, what's that? He said, when Jews fast, Muslims starve. I mean, I died laughing. It's very funny. Most people don't understand the joke. It's because if you look around New York City, which has a large Jewish population, or used to, when Jews fast like on Yom Kippur, the restaurants are dead. They close it up. Most of the restaurants are shut. The Chinese bicycles are chained to the posts for that day. Of all clean birds you may eat, but these are they of which you shall not eat. The vulture, the bearded vulture, and the osprey. Can't eat them. The glade, the falcon, the kite, and every raven after its kind, and the ostrich and the nighthawk and the seamew and the hawk after its kinds, the little owl and the gray. Oh, good. I like owls. I'm glad they can't be eaten. The horned owl, the pelican you can't eat. Woo, that was close. I like them. The carrion vulture and the cormorant. Oh, good. I like cormorants. They're beautiful. You can't eat the stork. You can't eat the heron. You can't eat the hoopoe. You can't eat the bat. And all winged swarming things are unclean. You see, that's not a good idea because desert people in Africa, they lived on locusts. They found out that you can live on grasshoppers and locusts. Of all clean winged things you may eat. So what is it like? If a cricket bathes, you can eat it? If a cricket doesn't have any BO, you can eat the cricket? I don't get that one. And the winged swarming things are unclean unto you. They shall not be eaten. Of all clean winged things you can eat. What's a clean winged thing? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, The only company I trust for wealth insurance, Gold and Silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN.
Vic Damone. Can never be like Vic Damone when you're 12. You know, like a squeaky voice. Can't wait to become a man, but you're afraid you're never going to be like Vic Damone. Welcome back. I'm just having a reverent Friday, because there's another head cutting. Old Testament, most of which religious Jews follow. For example, they follow Deuteronomy to the letter of the law. And they don't eat pork. They don't eat shrimp, okay? They follow the law. But you go to Leviticus. I'm not going to read all of it to you. If you ever read it, it's pretty frightening. You know, you just take a look at it. I have it marked up here, who they kill. And they you know, it could be a mild stuff you get knocked off in the old days. Like they still do in the Middle East. They take it, you know, they take it literally. It's very, very frightening. But yet, modern day Jews don't kill people if they do these violations. They how come they understood which of the old laws to follow and which not? Did they need a subtext? They need a warning label? They didn't. And I don't understand why there is no movement within Islam to teach the people that not everything in their Bible is to be practiced. Is there something wrong with my asking the question? If you look at Leviticus, you know, here it is, blemishes they would kill you for, because you shall not make yourselves detestable by beast. What does that mean? You can figure that out, right? In San Francisco or in Menlo, Washington, that's not a prohibition. They get that. But then you get into the nakedness and you get killed. Ugh, it's awful. And you shall not walk in the custom of the nation. Da, 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 da. But the killing stuff is in there. Then there's the good stuff in Leviticus. Thou shalt not oppress thy neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not abide with thee all night until the morning, meaning don't hold back the payment. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. I am the Lord. You get that? Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. That makes sense. Thou shalt not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's where it comes from, the Old Testament. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow the field with two kinds of seed. Now, there's an interesting reason for that from a biological point of view. Now, this gets into the death stuff. And whosoever lieth carnally with a woman that is a bondsmaid, designated for a man, and not at all redeemed, nor was freedom given her, there shall be an inquisition. They shall not be put to death because she was not free. Right? And the priest makes atonement for him. And it goes into, I'm not going to read the ones that you're supposed to kill. You know them, right? Nor imprint any marks upon you. In the age of tattoos, that's like ridiculous. Half of Hollywood would have to be executed. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor imprint any marks upon you. So right away, half of Hollywood has to be assessed. Profane not thy daughter to make her a harlot, lest the land fall into harlotry and the land become full of lewdness. Hello, Sunset Boulevard. So you keep the Sabbath, and if a stranger sojourns with thee in your land, you shall not do him wrong. Okay, so everyone understands right from wrong. They understand that. They know not to treat people, you know, according to the Bible, the wrong way. So how come they know what to follow and what not to follow? And that a man that lieth with his father's wife, can you follow that one? That's like dialing 411 and looking for the 11 on the phone. And the man that lieth with his father's wife, he hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. That was a prohibition. You get that one? Okay. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. I mean, they were pretty strict rules. Even in this day and age, you can understand those rules. They have wrought corruption. Their blood shall be upon them. So what do they mean they brought corruption? What was the biological fear about that? If a man slept with his mother. Say, oh, that's sick. Then you get the man with the man bingo. That's not good. They don't like that. Man take with his wife also her mother is wicked. They shall be burnt with fire. A man take with his wife her mother? What kind of psycho would do that? Wow. So they burn him to death in those days. Man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death. You get the picture, right? And they kill the animal, too. If a woman approach any beast and lie down, then it shall kill the woman and the beast, put to death. I don't want to go into any more of it. What I'm saying to you is this is written, it's in the Old Testament, and very, very, very adherent Jews who follow the book to the letter of the law don't kill people for these acts. How come? How come they know enough what to distinguish between eating a shrimp, the religious Jews? But apparently there's too many Muslims on the earth who follow Muslims, like the young woman from the UAE who joined the Air Force and led the strikes against ISIS, said that we moderate Muslims must fight them. She understands the difference. She's the hope for the whole world. She was disowned today by her parents, by the way, for doing the right thing. Can you believe this? But maybe the modern generation of Muslims, even in the Middle East, have had enough of the insanity that they were raised on. Just maybe there's enough for them to say, what, are they crazy? I'm going to do that. Sickening. And maybe in time we'll all evolve. We'll see this thing evolve. And then we won't see a guy in a factory, a jailbird, who suddenly thinks he's pure because he becomes a Muslim and he goes and cuts a woman's head off. Okay? I mean, sickening. But look, the Oklahoma beheading is a story today. So look where I went with it. Nobody on earth could have done what I did for you today. Nobody. Impossible. Brad on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation. I took 90 minutes to explain on the radio. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, regarding what you asked about what your best show was this past year, the bottom line is there's no such thing as the best show, because as an artist that you are, you're always topping yourself. Every time I listen to you, there's always...
But, Brad, I got to ask you something. As a guy who's saying a thing as complimentary as that, did you find my 90 minutes on the Bible and the Quran, did you find it interesting or boring?
Very interesting. You're the most interesting, most important voice in America right now at this point in time. You're the most...
You know what I just did should have been listened to by Obama? Obama and his minions could learn from what I just read. They should give me the Presidential Medal of Freedom for what I just read. If we lived in a sane nation. I mean, but they don't invite people like me. They invite Al Sharpton, who can't dial 9/11 because he's still looking for the 11.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So here's a little news for you. North Korea admits Kim Jong-un is sick. North Korea admits Kim Jong-un is sick. Maybe he got a cat's claw caught in his gut. Look at the bottom of the story here. It says, blah, blah, blah. He's been seen walking with a limp. He's only a 31-year-old guy. Hasn't been seen since September 3rd, fueling speculation he's suffering from bad health. But then you look down on the story. It says, based on his gait, it appears he has gout. Yeah, you eat enough dog, man, that'll do it to you. It's like, well, the purine's in a dog's foot. Based on his gait, it appeared he has gout, something due to diet and genetic predisposition that has affected other members of the Kim family. See, if he went on Michelle's diet, I mean, he could get rid of the gout. You can clean up gout. You knock off the dog and cat for a few months. You eat lettuce and tomatoes. And bingo, the next thing you know, you look like Al Sharpton. You lose 150 pounds. He might even get a gig on MSNBC if he cleaned up his act. It's an irreverent show. Give me a break. Okay, here's some questions for the Savage Nation. You want me to get, like, into serious now? I don't know what I want to be saying. Do you feel the Oklahoma knife attack and beheading was terror-related? Duh. No, I'll wait for the FBI to tell me. The suspect was stopped after he cut the woman's head off because the COO had a gun and was an off-duty sheriff. Do you think the media will ignore the fact? Give me another duh. What do you feel Eric Holder's legacy will be? I don't know. I don't want to answer any of these. New colognes on a Che Guevara and Hugo Chavez. Here's a story from Michael Walsh, New York Daily News. Che Guevara and Hugo Chavez, consumers will have the choice between scents named after Ernesto Che Guevara and Hugo Chavez. That's nice. So two murderers they picked now to make a perfume out of. It's unbelievable to me. Hugo in favor of the late Venezuelan dictator Hugo Chavez. Cuban biochemist Mario Valdez, who led the team to design the scent, said the project was a great challenge. Oh, yeah, we didn't want to create propaganda, right? Why don't you have an Osama bin Laden perfume or cologne that smells like fresh blood? I mean, Che Guevara was a stone-hearted... psychopathic murderer who's been glorified by the American media. I love they made a movie about him, like Mr. Cool with a beard. I had a beard. I was collecting plants, trying to save rainforests. I wasn't killing people. But that leads me to a question. If it's a cologne name for Che Guevara, you could figure out what it would smell like. Or Hugo Chavez. Okay, but what would the cologne of Barack Obama smell like? And what would it be? What would the cologne of Eric Holder's scent, what would that scent be? That's not a, I don't think that's an off-color question. I'll give you an easy answer. I'll give you a softball. They're making a cologne honoring Che Guevara and Hugo Chavez, which is, you know, sickening. Okay? So I ask you, what would the cologne of our political leaders be? So we'll start with an easy one. John Boehner would smell of fear. That's all. Fear cologne. The Boehner. If you want to smell like you're afraid, you put on the Boehner cologne. I think that's a reasonable. Or the media figures. What would the cologne that is named for Wolf Blitzer smell like? God, no. The Wolfie. The Wolfie. There used to be a place in Florida called Wolfie's. Wolfie's. Big deli. You know how many men died from that food? God. Corned beef. Brisket. Day and night. Brisket. Give me brisket. Colon cancer. Heart. I want a lot of brisket. A man eats brisket. Give me a fat sandwich. A man doesn't eat lettuce. Don't give me that lettuce. That's for idiots. Not a... No, men would say that in those. They didn't eat my father's day. They wouldn't even eat salad. I swear to God. He called it rabbit food and laughed at my mother. I'm not laughing at him. She lived to 88. He lived to 57. I'm not saying it was related to the lettuce. I eat a lot of lettuce now. I actually like it. Lettuce is amazing. Organic lettuce is a phenomenal food. What a diet that would be, the lettuce diet. Lettuce and wine. It's not a bad combo. I asked you a couple of questions on the beheading. What was my best show over the last year? Nobody knew. So that's too self-serving, I suppose. Line two? Where's line two? Oh, Josephine on WABC, what's on your mind? What was my best show of the year?
I feel, Michael, that when you talk about nutrition, it's unbelievable, fantastic, especially when you talked about the flu shot. You're like a box of chocolates. We never know what we're going to get. And you're a great conversationalist, and you're always reinventing yourself. And you appeal to the baby boomers because you play that oldies but goodies music. So it's just unbelievable. But I feel that
you're... Let me ask you something. Wait a minute. The box of chocolates, I'm not sure about. And but I've been doing nutrition today, reading about dietary advice from the Old Testament. That's sort of a nutrition show.
Right. I want to know, why does your knees hurt when you eat cheese?
Me?
Your
Me,
knees.
Why I don't eat dairy?
Yeah.
I discovered a long while ago that if I eat any dairy at all, I get my joints hurt because I probably have deficiency of lactase. Genetically, I'm not supposed to eat dairy products. And my body reacts immediately. I get inflamed joints. I don't eat dairy at all. I avoid it. It's endemic in certain populations that people have a dairy allergy. You know that Asian people are not supposed to eat dairy. You know that, don't you?
Right.
They don't know that. You see, look at China. They're pushing ice cream on them. Can you believe this?
Right.
Pushing diabetes and heart attacks on them.
Boy.
All right, Josephine. I'm going to tell you what. I'll give you the book if you name the title. Give me the title.
Stop the Coming Civil War.
Bingo! You win a free copy. Only under one condition, that you bring it to work. Carry it in a subway. Go to Dearborn with it in Europe. Stay on the line. 855-407. Carry the book into Dearborn. See what happens. Go to a Dearborn butcher. Kansas, Jared, welcome to the Savage Nation. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I'd like to help you out a little bit. You talk about how how no one born after 1970 listens. I was born in 1987. I listen every day.
How old are you?
I'm 27.
All right, so that's a good one. So tell me what you get out of the show that draws you back and back.
I think it's the analysis, the ability to look at things from a perspective that I don't normally get.
All right, that's the way. Hold on. I'm sorry for eating on the air. It's a no-no, but I can't help it. I'm starving to death, and I have low blood sugar. I'll get sick if I don't. But I'll stop eating to answer this. Jared, listen. You tune in for the analysis, because I have a laser-like analysis, capability for laser-like analysis. But today, all I do is read, like, food prohibitions in the Bible. Did you enjoy that?
Absolutely. I think that it's good, especially for all of us church-going folk, to try and get back to it and say, oh, yeah, I guess we better start reading some of that stuff again.
Right, but there was a bigger point to my irreverent humor, which is that Orthodox Jews have these precepts in the Bible, but they don't kill people. They know not to follow everything in the Bible to the letter of the law. And that's what I was getting at. I'm asking why so many people who convert to Islam take it literally.
I think they miss that section that we get a lot in our Western studies, that you have to apply reason and you have to apply historical context to the thing.
Yeah, but there is no reason or historical context in the mind of ISIS. These are throwbacks. They're 9th century minds. Even Obama said you can't reason with them. He's come to his senses. He understands what he had to do. You know, and by the way, it's why I support the bombing campaign. People say it's too little, too late, not enough. Okay, but it's at least it's something. At least he unleashed the Air Force, and we've got some coalition partners bombing some of their structures. They are doing something. We can't say it's all bad. That's my point.
That's what I tell my students every day.
Yes, that's right. 855-407-282. I'll send you a free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War if you agree to take it to school. Take your book to school day. Spokane, Washington. Julie, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. Hey, I was just calling because I was really frustrated with the news, the way that they were handling it today. You know, there's an air traffic controller that sabotaged and burned in Chicago, and the guy was found in the basement, and they've shut down Chicago, major rerouting. And I believe that's what's associated with ISIS as a beheading is. I think they were trying to crash 1,000 planes, but the news, it's like the fifth spray down, and the beheading.
Well, wait, hold on. I know about the air traffic down story, but was he a Muslim?
I don't know, but it...
No, you'll never know. You'll never know. I mean, they went into Oklahoma right away, the FBI, to say they don't know if it's terror-related. It seems a local news station seems to think it is.
Well, just as a...
It's a huge story. Guy cuts off the woman's head in a poultry processing plant? And then he was trying to convert people to Islam before this? Actually, the bigger part of the story is that the owner of the company was an off-duty sheriff who shot him to death before he could kill the next woman.
I know, that guy rocks. He should be like hero page.
Yeah, he should be on every news channel as an argument for why we should all own guns and learn how to shoot them. Here's the headline. Suspect in Oklahoma beheading tried converting co-workers to Islam. At least it made the headline to the New York Post. That's a very important part of it. I mean, enough is enough with a society that puts up with this. How much can you bend over and take this? What's this now? Arson threats and a visit from Louis Farrakhan. Billionaires battle for Bahamas beachfront. No one's going to care about that. I don't get that one. I mean, I don't care about that one. Mike, WABC, New York City. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, one of your best shows, I thought it was more recent, was the one where you helped a guy that was contemplating suicide. I think his name was Joe.
I sent him $10,000 that the people sent. He got every penny. I didn't take a dime off for management.
Yeah.
He thanked us. I mean, he sent a letter thanking us. He said he was in a car with a loaded gun. It was the IRS about to foreclose on him and take his house away.
Mike, it shows that there is still good out in this world, even though that there's a lot of bad happening right now.
Right, and remember, it was the listeners who sent the money that I forwarded to him. There are a lot of good people out there, despite the bad, you know. Mike, I'm sending you Stop the What?
Stop the Coming Civil War.
Bingo, you get a free copy. Bingo, 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 bonga. WABC, New York again, Binga Bonga Boonga, line one. Joe, what's on your mind?
Hi, this is Joe. Mike, the favorite, the top three this year. I've been listening to you, by the way, 15, 20 years or something like that. Now,
wow.
The top three, one of the top three, you know, was when you were discussing narcissism. And then I tried to reach you because I've known three people, all three of them are from, you know, are single children, you know, one child from one
yes.
Yes,
they're the only child. They're the only child.
Only child. And all they want you to do is talk about them. Your focus of attention has to be them. As soon as you stray talking about anything else, they get mad.
The truth is that children from large families are generally more emotionally well-balanced. That's a fact of reality.
One more Mike, please? Can I ask you a question? You discuss God every now and then, and quite often you come across as if you're not sure, and other times you say God is not omnipresent, you know, but he exists. Now, who created God? If that question comes up, and it does constantly, you know, with people I discuss religion with, and I'm just wondering, what is the answer?
Of who created God?
Right.
My answer is, if I were God, I could tell you.
One more point regarding religion.
In other words, I'm not God. I don't have an answer. I defer to him.
Don't you think God doesn't like hypocrites, for example, that atheists would tell God at Armageddon, look, now we believe you. But before that, there was absolutely no evidence of your...
Joe, listen, I don't have the answer to a question like this, but I'm going to give you an anecdote, if you'll stay on the line, that I think answers my question. It put me at ease in the 1980s. I was always asking this question. I was always a skeptic, okay? I remember I was in the streets of North Beach one night, having some wine after a night of drinking, whatever, working in my journal, hanging out. And I had a habit of talking to odd-looking people. In those days, you could talk to odd people without getting killed or, you know, a knife in your gut. So there was a guy that you would consider to be homeless, long white hair, blue eyes, older man, much older than me at the time. And he had a little rucksack. I started talking to him. I went up to him, and he was a cheerful fellow. He was clean. He was not like a bum. He was a, sort of like a bohemian hobo type from the old days. So I said to him a couple of questions. I said, what's your name? He said, my name is Moses. That's what he said. He didn't say it with a smirk, Moses. So we talked and da, 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 da. And then he asked me if I could give him a ride to an obscure freeway location. Now, normally you say you're crazy, you'll cut your throat. I was a risk taker in those days. I drove him through the city at night. I took him to the freeway. He got out. And as he got out, I asked him, I said, Moses, do you believe in God? And he looked at me through the window of the car as he was out already. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he said, who do you think created me? He said, I didn't create myself. That was the end of that question. And that put to rest all of my doubts about whether God exists. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CON. Well, let's look at the news headlines. Let's go to the Drudge Report, because I go there the first thing in the morning. Okay? Beheading in Oklahoma. Suspect tried to convert others to Islam. Bingo. But the local police classified it as workplace violence. Workplace violence. Very interesting. Meanwhile, the planes are shut down in Chicago. Both Chicago airports are shut down. 900 flights canceled. Travel snarled nationwide. Why? Because an arsonist set off a fire. They won't define the man who's suffering self-inflicted wounds. Flights resume on reduced rate after fire at Chicago air traffic facility. Air traffic facility. 30-year-old contract employee set the fire in the control center basement before 6 a.m. and tried to kill himself with a knife. Of course, we don't know who the individual is. We don't know his name. We don't know anything about him because that might make us think. And the worst thing you can do in America under Obama is think for yourself. That's a crime. That's a thought crime. Thinking itself is now a crime under Obama, if it leads to the right conclusions. So here we are. That's the story. That's it's another news headline. I give them all up to you. Want them all at once? Want all the bad news at once? New tropical virus spread by mosquitoes arriving from Latin America. 40,000 illegal aliens vanished into the USA. Oh, yes, Ebola amnesty. The feds won't deport Liberian immigrants. Ebola amnesty. Here's one other one for you. Obama praised the Muslim cleric who endorsed a fatwa against American troops. Uy, Hussein.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Yep, well, here's the editor's choice of the top stories. The Oklahoma beheading is a huge story, and it's being covered up immediately for the obvious reason that the convert to Islam did it. Another big story are the flight delays out of Chicago. An unnamed man of unnamed origin, of unnamed name, set a flight control center on fire. No name, no identity. Let's see what else is in the news. All the rest of the news is how good Obama is, how great Obama is, how great Biden is, how wonderful Hillary Clinton is, and how terrific Nancy Pelosi's brain functions at all hours of the day and night. 855-407-282. It's open mic to mic time. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Let's take the first caller. Thank God it's the weekend. Joe on KSFO. What's on your mind, Joe?
Yeah, Mike, on a day like this, it just is beyond me. It takes all of my strength just to get through the day, and I don't see anything being done to resolve any of these
issues. You're saying how much more bad news can you take? The beheading, for example, of a poor woman working in a poultry plant, has her head cut off by a Muslim, and the whole government goes into overdrive and the media to cover it up?
Yeah, it's almost as though we're supposed to be maintained in a state of complete numbness. And how long is this going to continue? But it's
now, when you say how much long is it, what do you mean by how long will what continue, Joe?
Well, how much of this masking of what is really
you mean the jihadists amongst us?
Right.
That the government tells us are amongst us. They said they're amongst us. We didn't know it was a poultry worker in Oklahoma.
Well,
but apparently there's an awful lot of the jihadists who take their Bible literally.
By definition, this has to be the case because, I mean, there's a billions of...
Yes, what do you think they're doing it for? They're told to do it. The guy was trying to convert workers in the plant. That's what we're getting, that story coming out. And then he went, I guess he snapped from workplace violence. That's what they're calling it in the local area. Workplace violence. Not enough people followed his lead there. No, I know what you mean, Joe. But look, it's going to reach a boiling point that people will take only so much. Then there's going to be ramifications in this country. And I shudder to think what's going to happen. Because they can only take so much lie until they realize their life is in danger, Joe. And that's why I'm sending you Stop the Coming Civil War, because I actually mean what I wrote. Unlike what you may think, I actually wrote the book to stop the coming civil war. Do you get it? Get it? Well, I hope so. Okay, let's go to the next caller. WBAP in Dallas. Love the station. Ryan, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I can't wait for your book, for one, but I can't help but believe it might just be a little too late. The way this country's going, the way the leadership's taking it, I believe the civil war will be coming quite fast.
Well, that's a horrible thought, because nobody benefits in a civil war. Look at Syria. It's been going on for years. 200,000 people are dead. Who's benefited from it?
Nobody.
That's the point I'm making. I'm actually a peacemaker. Now, here's the thing that you got to remember. I write a book called Stop the Coming Civil War. I lay out what I fear. I show Obama's war against the military, the war on the middle class, the war on American medicine, the war on civil rights, the war on science, the war on our schools, the war on our allies. And then I conclude with stopping the coming civil war. I wrote the book to stave it off, because this man has been trying to, whether it's an inadvertent or on purpose, the man is such a arrogant, narcissistic, detached, left-wing fanatic that he may have pushed America too far. I don't know who's going to save us. Maybe getting rid of Eric Holder is the first step. Maybe that was the first step to denature this regime. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. I only wish that Obama had announced his resignation yesterday. I wish that it was reversed, that it was Holder getting up to say, I'm here to announce that my president is resigning because he's pushed the country over the brink. And then Obama gets up and says, I've enjoyed it, thank you very much, and goodbye. But I didn't hear that. So I will send you the book, though, Ryan. Stay in the line. Anne Marie on WABC in New York City. Fire away. Go ahead, please.
I'm calling because when I heard that Al Sharpton was going to be advising Obama on the choice of the new attorney general, I thought, why is the Tawana Brawley case not being brought up and people screaming about the fact that this man engaged in race baiting and was convicted of 6 counts of defamation in that case?
Because that's the kind of man that Obama associates with. What do you mean, why? I mean, what do you think? That's a shock to Obama? Look at who else he invites to the White House. Take a look at who he has in there. Look at the parties he's had in that White House, what he's done to the reputation of the White House. I mean, I get nauseous looking at it.
Why aren't the Republicans or people that see beyond that bring up that case?
Why? The Republicans don't exist. Look, let me explain something about the, quote, Republicans. You notice they've been silent? They're invisible? You notice they're saying nothing about anything? Have you seen a Republican say anything in the last couple of weeks? The answer is no. Why are they silent? My estimation is, and here's my analysis, why they're invisible and silent. They've made an internal calculation that if they just keep their mouths shut and aren't seen at all, keep their heads down, and be cowards, they will win the election. They'll take the Senate. And so the strategy is one of cowardice and obsequiousness. A supine relationship with the public is what the Republicans have assumed. That's the answer. I thank you for that call. Republicans. What does it mean, Republicans? They stand for the Republic? What do they stand for? They stand for their own party, that's all. 855-407-282. Look, for an hour and a half, I did something funny today. I did the Old Testament. How could you make the Old Testament into something funny without knocking religion? You realize how hard that was? I read the Old Testament for an hour and a half on food prohibitions, and it sounds like I'm mocking it, but I'm not. I'm actually supporting it. But it takes a brain to understand that. I don't know. Maybe you don't get it. Maybe you're one of those people who can't dial 911 because you don't know where the 11 is on the dial. You've been waiting for the number to appear. You're sitting here, you dialed 9, but you can't find the 11. I don't know. KSFO, San Francisco. AJ, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, it's a great honor, Dr. Savage. I appreciate you taking my call. I wanted to talk about the show that really impacted myself, even my son, who's in the Marine Corps, certain friends and family. You talked about, and this is going back, but you talked about how you had experienced insomnia. And to cure it, instead of, like, most people watching TV or something unproductive, you went outdoors at night and being
right
under, you know, a dark sky, as far as how it corrected your brain or whatever it is that created.
Right. Well, I did other things, but one of the things I did when I was a young man in my, late 30s, I'd just gotten my degree and no one would hire me because I was unfortunately not a person of color. I wasn't a lesbian. I wasn't an illegal immigrant, so they wouldn't hire me. I only had a straight A average out of the University of California, Berkeley, for my PhD, and that also automatically disqualified me. I was too literate. I couldn't understand what I was going to do. I had two young children. I killed myself to get the degree. I had 200 rejection letters. I was at my wit's end. I couldn't sleep. So I started reading books on insomnia, and I got a lot of self-help books out. And one of them said, no one's ever died from a lack of sleep. They've died from worrying about a lack of sleep. That was the beginning of the self-help, because we don't need as much sleep as we get. And then I started to put two and two together. So I went out on my deck at night. The star was totally black. The stars were sharp. And I would sit there and just reflect on it with a warm coat, the beauty of the heavens. I started to restudy the star formations. I also did include some herbal medications. I mean, I am a herbalist by training. And I started to drink a passion flower herbal tea, and I did soothe myself to the extent that I was able to learn to relax and fall back asleep. At the end of the day, yes, meditation is the cure. But the worst thing you can do when you have insomnia, I'll tell you right now, is lay in bed and worry. I'll tell you right now, AJ, if you're laying in bed and you wake up, bing, you're awake, you can't sleep, you lay there, you're going to get really agitated. The trick is to get out of bed. Am I right or wrong?
No, absolutely, and that's what was, I was going insane, it felt like, because I was so worried about not sleeping. But after hearing you, I mean, within a week, I was sleeping.
Well, what did you do, though? Well, you went outside and looked at the heavens?
Went outside, just being outdoors, and
yes,
looking up at the sky, and contemplating God and creation, and the beauty
that's
of
right
being outdoors.
That's right, you saw your tiny place in the universe. And you realize you're one of billions of people on the planet who can't sleep. Big deal, right? That's it. That was your biggest problem, is you couldn't sleep. So what? The worst thing you could do is take sleep medications, as in my opinion. First of all, they're addictive. Secondly, they damage the brain permanently. There are new studies out which show a relationship between, let us say, frequent use of tranquilizers like Valium and sleep medications. They are not causally linked to Alzheimer's or memory loss, but let's say loose causality. Let me send you Stop the Coming Civil War. That'll keep you up at night. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. I'm playing love music because the world is so filled with hate. What do you want me to do, play hate music? Here's some nice headlines for you. China kills 40 Muslim terrorists after attack. That's all. They didn't bring them to justice. They didn't try to understand them. They just executed them. So that's all. That's number one. Outbreak of a respiratory illness escalates among children and mystifies scientists. Well, it doesn't mystify those of us who know the basics of epidemiology. The strain of the virus, that's a big mystery to the CDC and the dunces in the infection business, is identical to the strain that's endemic in Nicaragua and Honduras, where Obama brought his undocumented children from. Police looking into more beheading suspect after the suspect tried to convert others to Islam. I'm shocked. It's still on there. Now, here's a local story I didn't read yet. Doctor charged with attempted manslaughter and road rage shooting. I've been saving this for the... A 71-year-old doctor has pleaded not guilty to charges that he shot a man after the victim followed him to his Corte Madera home following a road rage incident. James Stephen Simon entered his pleas Thursday in Marin County Superior Court to attempted voluntary manslaughter assault with a firearm in the shooting that injured William Osenton, 70, of Tiburon. Okay. Here's the story. Simon and his wife of 38 years were on their way home in a smart car cabriolet convertible about 10:40 a.m. when they ended up behind this other guy's Mercedes-Benz at a red light. Okay? When the light turned green, the guy in the Mercedes didn't move, so Simon went around his car. Well, the two-lane road merged into a single lane as Simon passed the Mercedes, and that's when the guy in the Mercedes began tailgating and accelerating and driving very aggressively, said his attorney. The guy in the Mercedes followed the couple to their home on Paradise Drive, which overlooks San Francisco Bay. As the doctor, Simon, was trying to close his garage door to escape the Mercedes maniac, the Mercedes maniac sped up into the garage and the door hit his Mercedes-Benz, authorities said. The Mercedes Marauder then backed up and stopped his car in Simon's driveway, investigators said. So Simon, the doctor, gets out. Remember, he's 71 years old. He gets a .357 Magnum and fires a warning shot into a nearby hillside. Doesn't stop the Mercedes Marauder. He then fires two more shots that hit the man, authorities said. The so-called victim was taken to Marin General Hospital. Now, of course, the story wouldn't be complete from the psychos in the media if they didn't write this. Police seized more than 50 guns and 200 boxes of ammunition from Simon's home. So what? They're all legal. They're collector's items from World War II. All the guns are legally registered. And by the way, Dr. Simon is a licensed physician and surgeon. His areas of practice include aerospace medicine and occupational medicine, right? And he provides flight physicals required by the FAA. He has no criminal history, none whatsoever. And yet, the prosecutors here in Marin County, in the Superior Court, charged him with attempted manslaughter in the road rage shooting. To me, it's an open and shut case. He was defending his life and his wife's life from a lunatic. If the man is following you in a road rage incident, it's one thing. Now, if the man follows you to your driveway and you shoot into your driveway and then the lunatic behind you crashes into your garage door, now why would he do that? He has an intent to harm you, doesn't he? And Dr. Simon shot from inside his garage. He didn't go out in a driveway. It's an open and shut case. He never should have been charged. This is an overreach on the part of a liberal judicial system in Marin County, California, that should apologize to Mr. Simon, in my estimation. But you know they won't. They want to put his head on the wall because he dared defend himself. To them, the only good doctor would be a cowardly doctor who cowered and begged and called 911 after he was beaten up and his wife was beaten up by the lunatic who followed him home. Terrible situation. And, you know, there's a lesson to be learned from this that I learned many years ago. Everyone listening to the show drives has probably had a road rage incident at some point in the last period of time. I had a lawyer friend who had two grown sons. They were very trained martial artists, and he said he told all of them the following. They were tough kids. He said, if you're on the road and you get into an interaction with anyone on the road, try to pull up next to them and do a submissive gesture with your hand like, sorry, just back off, because it will escalate. You have no idea who the other lunatic may be. And this guy obviously was out of control. We don't know why, but he was out of control. To follow a man home, man pulls in his garage, tries to close the door, and then bash your car into his garage door. What did he think would happen? What would you do? What would you do if a man, you're there with your wife, you're 71 years old, and some AH follows you home, you try to close the garage door, and he puts his car under your door. Tell me what you would do. Welcome in for herbal tea? Welcome in for a fireside chat? You do what you have to defend yourself, period. Thank God he had a gun, they could have killed both of them. I have no idea why the district attorney charged them, other than it's Marin County, the land of opportunity. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Be here, be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's Rock and Roll Friday, lighten up. So what if a man cut a woman's head off in a processing plant? Don't they do it to chickens every day? So what if he was a Muslim convert? What does that have to do with his religion? How racist of you. Now, it is true he was an African-American male and the victim was a white woman, but that's no cause for a reaction from Al Sharpton. And the reason Al Sharpton can't go to Oklahoma City to check it out is he can't book a ticket because he can't spell Oklahoma. And the reason Sharpton would never call 411 or 911 is because he can't find the 11 on the phone. I heard that Al Sharpton does not know how to make toast because nobody gave him the recipe. And by the way, the saddest part is that Al Sharpton is the smartest one on MSNBC. Yet he's invited to the White House. Go figure. Over and over and over again. Over and over. What weight loss diet is that man on? What is he eating? He can't be eating Michelle's diet. Well, maybe he is eating the diet Michelle prescribes, but not the one she actually eats. I don't know what that's a. There'll be no Ferguson-like protests over the beheading, though, because it's too embarrassing for the media. They're still covering Ferguson. Reverend Al says he's advising Obama on the appointment of the new attorney general. I hope to God that Alton Nolan wasn't on the short list, because that would cut out one candidate right there. I'm sorry. By the way, this is the latest from Oklahoma. He walked into the front office. This is from KFOR News Channel 4, updated this morning in Oklahoma. The beheader walked into the front office area where he met 54-year-old Colleen Hufford and began attacking her with a knife. Sergeant Lewis confirms the type of knife used in the attack is the same kind used at the processing plant. The woman was confirmed stabbed several times, and Nolan then severed her head. At that point, Lewis, the Muslim convert, claims Nolan met 43-year-old Tracy Johnson and began attacking her with the same knife. Apparently, Nolan was attacking employees at random. Well, at least he wasn't discriminating. I mean, give him that. So you can't call it a hate crime. It was indiscriminate attacking. How could the suspect's beliefs not play a role in this tragedy? He beheaded a woman. He's a Muslim convert. And the FBI is trying to find out why he did it. You know, unless we come, whatever. Well, do I have to finish this paragraph? I don't think so. I think you pretty much know what's going on and what's going to happen to you. I think you pretty much know what's coming. Believe me. Now, the reason the FBI is looking into the Muslim convert's head cutting over there in Oklahoma today is twofold. One, I believe PETA has told the FBI that this may actually be misinterpreted. The man who cut the woman's head off was allegedly an animal rights activist, and he thought that the woman had treated the chickens too roughly on the assembly line in the poultry plant. So he was actually performing it from the point of view of an animal rights activist. And the FBI may come out with that official statement by this afternoon. We'll be listening very carefully. There may not be a hate crime. It certainly couldn't be if it's the FBI involved. It was actually a crime of passion for the animal. He was upset the way she was handling the chickens before she slaughtered them, and he just took it out on her. I mean, he just blew it. Nothing to do with his religion. Not at all. It was an animal rights guy. It's that simple. That was probably workplace violence in that regard. You know, I think the American people don't care that another Muslim convert, African-American, who was an Islam convert, cut someone's head off. I think they'd be more interested if Kim Kardashian's breast fell out, frankly. I mean, the country is so debased from Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Obama. They have so debased the American soul, mind, and spirit that if Kim Kardashian had an incident like that, they'd be more interested in that, and they talk about it more so than they'll talk about a Muslim convert following the orders of ISIS and cutting off a head here in Oklahoma City. That's how sick it is. You know, people say, oh, don't do such heavy politics, you know, make it light. You can't make it light. You can only go so light for so long, and then you become light in the brain. Here's an update on that female pilot, the moderate Muslim pilot. She's not a moderate. I mean, she's an extremist. The woman's fabulous. She's a combat-ready pilot. And listen to what she said. She says, it's important for us moderate Arabs, moderate Muslims, to step up and say this is a threat against us. This is more of a threat against us than it is against you. This is not just a threat to our countries. This is a threat to our way of life, she said. Can you believe this? Here is a girl, a Muslim girl, had wanted to be a fighter pilot since she finished high school, but had to wait until women were allowed in UAE. She had to wait 10 years for the decision to be taken. And so she enlisted, and she was a fighter pilot who led the airstrike against ISIS. Here's an update to that story. Her family disowned her right after she attacked ISIS. So I guess they're not the moderate Muslims. You know? Now, Obama's brought in hundreds of thousands of Muslims in the last year. Nobody knows if they've been vetted. No one knows who they are. If you think things are bad now, you wait and see what happens in the next few years. There's going to be hell to pay for this multicultural insanity that has moved like an ooze out of Obama's brain. You understand that? Yes? No? Maybe? Get what's going on? And, you know, I have no comment to make. I have no comment to make. This is the most racist administration in American history. They have used race to get where they are. They use race to stay where they are. And they use race to suppress anyone who finds out the gang's crimes. Everything this man does is meant to stir the pot of hatred. So they finally got him on the Fast and Furious documents. So the gang suddenly has a little dent in their armor. The gang that no one could touch. The gang that can shoot very straight indeed suddenly sees a dent in their armor, and they're knocking him off the boardwalk for a while. And I'm telling you again, you can do something about it. You can buy Stop the Coming Civil War. That's my new book. It's out October 7th. Why am I hammering the book so much? You think I want to get rich? Let me explain something to you. This country is on the brink of extinction. I laugh if you want. If you tell me that when you read that one out of three children in California is an illegal alien who does not speak English, tell me what the future of this country looks like. They're not all going to integrate. They're not going to all assimilate. If you want to know what America will look like under Jerry Brown, take a look at Tijuana. That's what the Democrat socialist machine wants, is ignoramuses who don't even speak the language so they can pull the wool over their eyes and build railway lines to nowhere. So what does my book have to do with it? If you get the book and you simply hold it at work, put it on your desk at work, put it on a coffee table, and people say, what's this Stop the Coming Civil War about? Bingo. You have the billboard. You have a discussion. You have a chance to throw the bums out. Oh, I have something important for you. This is a little collateral, but I must read it to you, so bear with me. I got a letter, an anonymous letter, that's full of anger. I wouldn't say hatred, but anger. And here it goes, September 15, 2014. You broadcasted that the Japanese military had forced Korean women to be sex slaves, so-called comfort women. Unless you pursue the fact, do not open your mouth on this issue. I cannot believe how ignorant, brainwashed you are. You are as low as liberals. Did you receive a bribe from Koreans? I hope you are not too coward to make a public apology to Japanese soon. Well, this ignorant man doesn't even know the history of his own people. And the reason I brought up the Japanese comfort women and the rape of the Chinese and Korean women during World War II was not to insult the Chinese or Japanese who are wholly different people today. It was to tell you that while ISIS is raping women, it's not the first time in history that the military has used women like this. And so let me just give you some references, sir, if you're still listening to me. I know you're in Pennsylvania by the postmark. Amnesty International wrote an article called Breaking the Silence on Comfort Women. Up to 200,000 women were forced into sexual slavery by the Japanese military during World War II, one of the world's biggest cases of human trafficking. 64 years later, they're waiting for justice. But too many of them were denied the choice to be a wife, a mother, a sister, or a grandma. The Japanese Imperial Army enslaved between 80,000 and 200,000 women and girls from 1932 to 1945. Most came from Korea, with many also from Japan and the Dutch East Indies. Women and girls were obtained through abduction or deception, in some cases purchased from destitute parents. Some were as young as 12. For some, the comfort stations were their first sexual experience. I don't want to read anymore. In fact, the Japanese government itself apologized to the former comfort women, but it was a half-hearted apology. There's another article from the Huffington Post, The History of Comfort Women, A World War II Tragedy We Can't Forget, by Catherine Brooks. 200,000 recruited to be prostitutes for the Imperial Japanese Army during World War II. I saw a Chinese-made movie on this 2 years ago, The Rape of Nanking, where they took Chinese girls and women, and they forced them into sex 24 hours a day. The Japanese soldiers would come in and do what men do when they're demented and sick. And that's raped the women over and over till some of them died. Those who lived were no longer worthy of their own selves. They were destroyed by this. So I take umbrage to a man who says to me, I don't know my history. I would say his ignorance is what we're talking about. But this is not about the Japanese in World War II. This is about ISIS right now. How come you haven't heard about them raping, abducting and raping Christian women and the Yazidi women? How come the cowards in the media, how come the cowards in the liberal media won't even tell you what they're doing to women? What's the matter? You're liable to hate them too much? You're liable to actually hate the enemy and despise them and want them crushed like rotten bugs? It's unbelievable to me what liberalism is. It'll kill all of us unless we have a sea change in the mindset of this country. These psychotic cockroaches quote their own holy book, which, by the way, I'm sorry to tell you, it doesn't give me pleasure, has over 100 references to killing and enslaving the enemy. Their holy book has over 100 references to killing and enslaving the enemy. It's not coming out of air. And for President Obama to say, with peaceful religion, they have no religion, they're not Muslims, is a lie. They are Muslims. They say they're Muslims. It's an embarrassing fact that must be dealt with. And it can only be dealt with by the intelligentsia or the intellectuals within the Muslim world, of whom there are many. They have to start calling for a revision of their own Bible. The Christians went through a reformation, did they not? Modern Jews don't enact the horrendous murder, death, killing, stoning of the Old Testament. Well, why do these throwbacks do that? Why isn't anyone talking about it in this modern age? This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, there was a terror attack on our own shores today that's been covered up by the media, and that is a beheading. That's right. We've had a beheading not in the deserts of Syria, but in Oklahoma of the United States of America. A black man who converted to Islam was going around the company trying to convert people to Islam. He went crazy today, and he cut off a woman's head. That's all. Of course, the police say they don't know what the motive was. The FBI is looking to see if there's any relationship to his religion. At this time, it is not known if the suspect's beliefs played a role in the attack. That's as far as they'll go. Really, it's as far as we'll go. You have to read the whole story to see that he's a recent convert to Islam with a long rap sheet. He found the perfect religion for a man with a long rap sheet. The religion didn't come with a warning label, so he took it literally and cut her head off. That's all. So we've had a terror attack on American shores, and no one knows why, how, who, or what. Yeah, right. No, we don't know. We don't know. Same with the respiratory illness that's spreading across America. It mystifies the scientists. We all know it came from Central America, from Obama's unaccompanied children. But then again, it's a mystery illness, just as the beheading is a mystery beheading. Everything's a mystery in America. That's because there's a mystery man in the White House. When you have a mystery man, you have mysteries occurring in America. China killed 40 Muslim terrorists after an attack. Of course, the headline doesn't say they were Muslims. They just said that there were ethnic tensions. And the ethnic tensions led to them killing 300 people in the last year and a half. Well, okay. Okay, life goes on. Go to michaelsavage.com if you want to get away from this ugly news. I'm not making the news. I'm giving you the news. Don't blame me. See my incredible audio piece on why God wants us written into the book of life. And perhaps you can share it with a Muslim friend. Perhaps that could be something you could share with your co-religionists. China kills 40 Muslim terrorists after attack. Oh, yes, illegals will be allowed to serve in the U.S. military. That's what the mystery man in the White House wants. Meanwhile, Putin is mulling the boycott of Hollywood movies. That's a big deal. Big deal if it affects the bottom line of Katzenberg, Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg. Oy, oy, oy. We don't know what might happen next. And here's a positive story on michaelsavage.com. The United Arab Emirates has a female fighter pilot who led an airstrike against the Islamic State. Isn't that amazing? A woman with a headscarf flying a fighter jet against ISIS. Hey, it doesn't get any better than that. That's what you call revenge. That's what you call revenge. Oh, yes. Did you see the story out of New York? The lefty commie mayor was holding up a groundhog to celebrate Groundhog's Day. He dropped it on its head and it died. The same doofus who runs New York City has an advisor who dates a cop-bashing killer. Both stories should be looked at. That's right. Thousands of illegals skip mandated follow-up. Why should they? There are no consequences. For those of you who just want to have fun, there's an article from the New York Post entitled, "These Christian Swingers Like Sharing Bible Verses and Sex Partners." Oh, God. Oh, isn't life wonderful? Life is wonderful. People are great and business stinks. I mean, something like that. I don't know what the... So here are the questions of the day. Do you feel the Oklahoma knife attack and beheading was terror-related? No. No, it was love-related. And by the way, the Muslim convert who cut the head off was only stopped as he was about to cut another head off because the COO of the factory had a gun and he was an off-duty sheriff. Wow, you mean he didn't call the ACLU for a trial to intervene? By the way, one last note from the New York Daily News. New colognes are honoring Che Guevara and Hugo Chavez. I don't know how you bottle communism. I don't know what the stink would be. The new men's cologne, Ernesto, which will be presented at a convention in Havana this week, goes to show that even if you're a commie killer, your likeness might show up on the checkout line. There'll be another fragrance called Hugo in honor of the late dictator Hugo Chavez. We don't know what that stink is of. Maybe of hate. Maybe they can bottle hate. Which leads me to ask this question. What would the cologne of our political media figures smell like? What would the Obama cologne smell like? What would the Boehner cologne smell like? Fear. Okay, that's an easy one. Fear in a bottle. Boehner's scent is fear in a bottle. Obama's scent is that of the seat in the bottle. That's an easy one. That's very easy. Well, as I sign off today, will you please go to the michaelsavage.com, check out these stories, and pre-order Stop the Coming Civil War while you still can get it at 50% off from barnesandnoble.com. Good night, and God bless America.
Savage.